Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, our weekly entertainment of old-time radio. We've got two good ones for you today. We're going to start off with Escape. This is from 1947. It's called The Fourth Man.
Escape. Escape tonight to a raft in the South Pacific. The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations presents Escape, produced and directed by William N. Robeson. This, the last of the summer series, is The Fourth Man by John Russell. Noumea in the South Pacific. To a generation of French criminals, a word to be uttered in the same terrified breath with Devil's Island. The penal colony at Noumea, where the cutthroats, garrotters, and sadists from the dregs of French society were sent to a living death. Tonight we invite you to escape from Noumea in John Russell's The Fourth Man.
The raft stood to open sea. A mat of pandanus leaves served for its sail, and a paddle of wood for its helm. It was woven of reeds and bamboo sticks lashed upon triple rows of bladders, and it carried four men. Three of them sat huddled together at the far end. Their bodies were blackened with dried blood, and the hair upon them was long and matted. They wore only the rags of blue convicts' uniforms. On wrist and ankle, they carried their mark, the dark and wrinkled stain of the manacles. There was Dubose, doctor, man of the world, murderer.
Friends, the thing is done.
And Fenarou, forger, ladies' man, weakling, coward.
Yes, we've escaped.
And the one known as the parrot, thief and cutthroat.
So far, so good.
And by the way of celebration, gentlemen, may I offer you cigarettes?
Cigarettes? Doctor, you're a marvel, a magician. Look at them. White and fresh as though they just came from the package.
How did you do it?
Oh, every 6 months there are about 75 escapes from Noumea, and not more than one succeeds. Ours would be that one I knew. And so, 3 weeks ago, I bribed the night guard for these very cigarettes, so that we might sit here, my friends, as we are doing, and celebrate.
I want a light.
A light for the pet.
Our doctor's a wonder. He thinks of everything. He gives us cigarettes, matches, and our freedom.
Wait till you've got your 2 feet on a pavement again. That'll be the time to sound off about freedom.
To wear starched collars again. To stroll with a girl, clean and fresh from her bath, down the Place de la Concorde, the Rue de Rivoli.
Suppose we get a storm.
It's not the season of storms.
Just the same. Suppose we get a storm.
Perroquet, my friend, you must not be so impatient. Remember, we were convicts back there, festering in oblivion. Now we are men raised from the dead.
Suppose we get a storm. You've got a gift of speech, Doctor. But where's the ship that was going to meet us here?
This is the day, as agreed. It will meet us.
The wind will blow us to China if we keep on.
We can't lie any closer to shore. There's a government launch at Torian. And I doubt if the native trackers have given us up.
Careful, Parrot. The natives will eat you yet.
I've heard about that. Is it true, Doctor, that they'll keep all the runaways they can capture to fatten on?
Oh, they prefer the reward still. I doubt if they've entirely lost the habit of cannibalism.
Piece by piece, Parrot. First they'll sample you. Then they'll make a stew out of your brains. Oh, they won't miss a thing.
Shut up, Fenarou. The filthy brutes.
Oh, I almost forgot. We have one of them with us.
The fourth man was steering the raft. He sat crouched in the stern, his body glistening with spray. His huge dark hands held the steering paddle. He was motionless, like an idol, his eyes fixed on the course ahead. The fourth man on the raft.
You are looking at a Canuck, my friends. You will see nothing superior. No line of beauty to redeem the low angle of the forehead, the knobby joints of the body. Nature has stamped him with the mark of inferiority, and he has set the final seal himself with that twist of bark about his middle, that prong of pig ivory through his nose.
Yes, but nonetheless, he's a man, and there is a price on our heads. He could be taken as where he likes.
Calm yourself, Fenarou. This is a very simple animal, an infant, really.
Does that mean he couldn't double-cross us?
It does. He is bound by his duty. I made my bargain with his chief up the river, and this one is sent to deliver us on board our ship. That's the only interest he has in us.
And he'll do it?
He will. That is the nature of the native.
No, I don't trust him, not for a minute.
The brute. The animal. You! It's you I'm talking about. You dirty brute.
Save your breath, parrot. He speaks no language, only a few noises. Few signs.
I don't feel right on the same raft with that.
Well, burn yourselves up in the sun if you like, but me, I'm going to crawl under a mat and get some sleep.
Yes, we should all sleep a little, conserve ourselves. And when we awake, our ship will be here. Our saucy little topsail schooner, a mast standing out against the sky, and we'll be on our way to France. Yes, sleep, my friends.
The two younger convicts dozed under the heat of the day, but not the doctor. He stood once again to sweep the skyline under his shaded hand. His plan had been so careful, so precise. He had counted absolutely on meeting the ship, a small schooner, one of those flitting half-piratical traders of the Copra Islands that can be hired, like cabs in a dark street, for any sinister enterprise. And there was no ship. And there was no crossroads where one might sit and wait.
Good morning, Doctor.
It's afternoon, Fenarou.
Oh, yes, so it is. I slept like a corpse.
Hey, where's the ship, Doctor? It was going to be here when we woke up.
It will be.
Oh, I'm thirsty. I'm dying with thirst.
So we all, Fenarou.
Where's the flask? I'm roasted in the sun.
You'll just have to roast some more. This crew is put on rations.
Well, what are you talking about? Where's that water?
I have it here.
So you have. You think it's yours?
No. It's ours, Parrot.
I want a drink, Doctor.
Think a little, Parrot. We have to guard our supplies like reasonable men. We don't know how long we may be floating here.
Oh, so that's how you talk now. You don't know how long. But you were sure enough when we started.
I am still sure. The ship will come. She cannot stay for us in one spot. She'll be cruising to and fro until she intercepts us. And we must wait.
That's good. Wait. And in the meantime, what? Fry here in this heat, our tongues hanging out, while you deal us out water drop by drop?
Perhaps.
No. A man doesn't live who can feed me with a spoon.
Unless you would die very speedily, we must guard our water. We can only do our best with what we have.
All right, Doctor. Do your best. Give me a drink.
You may have your share, of course. But be warned. When it's gone, don't come to us, to Fenarou and me.
Yes, what's fair is fair.
My drink.
Very well.
Oh, a thimbleful. One thimble.
This way we should have enough for 3 days, maybe more. with equal shares among the three of us.
That's right. There are only three of us.
You were thinking of him, Fenrir, of our pilot? He looks somewhat like us, doesn't he? But his body has never known clothes. His feet, shoes. His heart has never known the swelling that comes with feelings of love or beauty. His mind has never known a single thought. Look at us three, gentlemen. You, Fenrir, a forger. You, Parrot, a thief. And I, Dr. DuBose, of Paris and Marseille, a murderer. And yet, we are civilized men, and this is a savage animal. And our provisions are for civilized men only.
The three men awoke to the second day on the raft. They looked and saw the far round horizon and the empty desert of the sea and their own long shadows that slipped slowly before them over its smooth, slow heaving. The land had sunk away from them in the night. The trap had been sprung. As the savage sun kindled upon them with the power of a burning glass, a calm fell, an absolute calm. The air hung, waited. The sea heaved and fell in polished undulations. And the sun shone, driving in under their eyelids like white-hot splinters. They crawled to the shelter of their mats, gasping, shriveling. And the water, the world of water, was slack and thick as oil.
Oh, how lonely it is.
Dr. DuBose.
Yes, Parrot?
Look around you.
What do you mean?
Go on, look around. What do you see?
I see water, Parrot, and the horizon.
What?
Nothing else.
Oh, don't you see a ship? A saucy little schooner? Those were your words. Well, where is it? Why don't you see it?
It will come.
Will it comfort us to be dead when it comes?
You say that you count on your friends, but suppose they leave you to rot here. Leave Parrot and me to rot here. That would be a joke, eh, Doctor? To wait for a ship that will never come?
It will come. My friends will not fail me.
Why? How do you know? How can you be so sure?
There's a safety vault in Paris full of papers to be opened at my death. Those papers contain confession. No, gentlemen, my friends will not fail me. Parrot. A moment ago, you asked me what I saw.
Well?
There was something I neglected.
What's that?
I see a Canuck on this raft with us. He does not join us. He does not look at us. He sits on his heels in the way of the native, with his arms hugging his knees. He sits at the stern, motionless under this shattering sun, gazing out into vacancy. Whenever I raise my eyes, I see nothing else. Only this Canuck.
He seems to be enjoying himself quite well.
I was thinking so myself.
The cannibal. The savage.
He does not seem to suffer.
What's going on in his brain? What does he dream of there? He looks as though he hates us.
A dirty rat.
Maybe he's waiting for us to die. Maybe he's waiting for the reward. At least he wouldn't starve on the way home. He could deliver us piece by piece.
How does he do it, Doctor? Hasn't he any feeling?
I've been wondering. It may be that his fibers are tougher. His nerves.
But we've had water, and he hasn't.
And yet, see his skin. It's moist and fresh.
And his belly, fat as a football. Don't tell me this savage is thirsty. Is there any way he could steal our supplies?
Certainly not.
Suppose he has his own supplies, hidden.
What?
We'll see. Search the raft.
Come on, we'll learn his secret.
Here, look under the mats.
Tear it apart.
I'll push him aside.
Anything there?
No.
Gentlemen, no. Gentlemen. We were mistaken. He has nothing hidden.
You're wrong about him, Doctor.
He can... You say he has no understanding. There's one thing he can understand. Pain!
Parrot, not so much. That's enough.
This, come. That'll teach you. Not so chipper now, are you? Not so happy with your luck. That'll make you feel...
Well, Parrot, you feel better now, don't you? Superior. Come back, my friends. Come back under the mats. The glare of the sun is not so bad there.
Oh, idiots.
What's the matter with our Parrot now?
Idiots. Why do we look and look? The schooner can't help us now. If we're becalmed, then they are too.
Doctor, is that true?
Yes. We must hope for a breeze first.
Well, then why didn't you tell us we trust you? Why do you keep on playing out the farce?
You are wise, Doctor. You are very wise.
Put down the knife, Parrot.
You know things we don't, and you keep them to yourself. All right, but be careful. If you think you'll use your wisdom to get the best of us, be careful, Doctor, because I still have the knife.
And so the days dragged by, the second, the third, and now it was the fourth day, and still there was no breeze, and still... there was no ship.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes?
What do you stare at?
At him. At him, the native.
The Canuck. Why?
Look at him. And look at us. We are dying. Our powers are ebbing.
And him?
Naked, wild, brutish. He has yet to give the slightest sign of complaint or weakness.
Doctor, is this a man or a fiend?
A man. It is a man.
A miracle.
It is a man and a very poor and wretched example of a man. Why, you'll find no lower type anywhere. Look at his cranial angle, the high ears, the heavy bones of his skull. Why, he's scarcely above an ape.
Then what?
He has a secret.
A secret?
But we see him. Every move he makes, every minute. What chance has he for a secret?
Absurd. Here are we three, children of the century, products of civilization. And here is this savage who belongs before the Stone Age. Is he to win this struggle?
What kind of secret?
I can't say. Perhaps some method of breathing. Some strange posture he uses to cheat the sensations of the body. Such things are known among primitive peoples. Known and jealously guarded. Like the properties of certain drugs. The uses of hypnotism. Who knows?
We can know. We can find out.
Would you ask him? Useless. He would not tell. Why should he? We scorn him. We give him no share with us. We abuse him. And so he falls back upon his own expedients. They are the means by which he has survived from the depth of time, by which he may yet survive when all our wisdom is dust.
There are a number of ways of learning secrets. I know them all.
It would be useless. How could he stand any torture you might invent? You saw how he behaved before? No, no, that's not the way.
Oh, listen to my way. I'm tired of all this talk. You say he's a man. All right, then he has blood in his veins. At least we could drink.
No, it would be too hot. It would be salt.
Well, kill him then and throw him over the side. Let's be rid of the thing.
We gain nothing.
Then what do you want?
I want to beat him. That's what I want. To beat him at the game. For our own sakes, for our racial pride, we must. To outlast him. To prove ourselves his masters. Watch him. Watch him closely, my friends.
Watch? I'll watch, all right, my good doctor. I'm not sleeping anymore. And leave you alone with that bottle.
The bottle. The bottle.
I've been meaning to discuss our rations with you.
Have you?
We're running very short. I'm afraid we must cut down again.
And what are we cut to?
Half a thimbleful.
No.
We must keep our wits.
I say no.
All right. Then we'll put it to a vote. You say no. I say yes. Fenarou.
Yes. Yes, anything, but give me mine now.
Then it's half a thimbleful for Monsieur Fenarou. Oh. Your share, Fenarou.
More. More, I'll die. Give me more.
No more today.
You must. You must. Doctor.
No more today.
Look, a ship. A ship.
Oh, at last.
Where? Where is it? I don't see any ship.
It's a trick. Look, Fenarou. He has the bottle. You dirty thief.
Look at him. You killed him with that oar.
What about the bottle?
Yes, there's some left. You caught him just in time.
And you caught the bottle just in time.
It seems I did.
And there is no ship. There will be no ship. We are done. Because of you and your dirty promises that brought us here. Doctor. Liar. Fool.
Don't come any closer. Unless you want this flask broken over your head.
No. Oh, I wouldn't want that.
Why, just think, Parrot. Why should you and I fight? We can see this trouble through and win, yet. This calm can't last forever. Besides, there will be only two of us to divide the water now.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? Fenarou kindly leaves us his share, an inheritance. All right. I'll take mine now. My share. Right now, if you please. Later, we'll see.
So be it. Your share.
Many thanks. And now, Fenarou's share. To me, please.
As you say.
And now, another good doctor.
Three. That's enough, Parrot.
No, doctor. It's not enough. Now I'll take the rest.
Parrot! Stop my arm.
I'll kill you if you don't let go. Thank you. You see, I have manners, haven't I? And I have wisdom, too. Because I fooled a very wise man. I toast you, Doctor. The best man wins. That was a bright idea of yours. The best...
So the best man wins, eh, Bert? You forgot I'm a doctor, didn't you? You forgot that a man cannot go without water for 4 days, then drink his fill and live through it, huh? Go on, Parrot. Gasp out your worthless life. While I laugh. The best man always wins, Parrot. The best man...
So, the best man wins, yes, Doctor. You forgot my knife, didn't you? Forgot me, lying at your feet. Gave me up for dead, didn't you? But now it is I, Fenaru, who will outlast the two of you. Here's my good doctor, the best man. Always wins.
Fenaru, you fool. The water, it's running out. Hey.
Captain, longboat's back, sir.
All right, send Marteau in.
He's right here, sir.
Bad luck, sir. The raft was here all the time, not 10 miles away from us.
Ah, that calm. Well, where are they, the passengers?
Oh, we're too late. They're all dead.
All dead, huh?
Yes, one stabbed to death, another skull crushed, the other fried by the sun. They're all dead.
Well, then. All the better. It cost us nothing to feed.
Yeah, but how are you going...
Hogsheads, my friend. The hogsheads in the afterhold. Fill them nicely with brine, and there we are.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, you're dull, Marteau. Very dull. The gentleman's passage is all paid. Before we left Sydney, I contracted to bring back 3 escaped convicts. I'll bring them back. Pickled. So if you'll go back, Marteau, and bring him aboard for the trip, I'll be much obliged.
Very well, sir. Oh, there's a 4th man on the raft, Captain. A Canuck. He's still alive. What'll we do with him?
A Canuck? No word in my contract about any Canuck. Leave him there. He's only a savage.
And so Dr. DuBose and Fenaru and the parrot went aboard for the long trip to their beloved Paris, their bodies pitching and rolling gently in the huge vats of brine. On the raft, the 4th man raised his head slightly as a wind freshened from the west. He watched until the schooner turned, shaping away for Australia, and disappeared over the rim of the horizon. Then he spread his sail of pandanus leaves and headed his raft eastward, back toward New Caledonia, back toward home. Feeling somewhat dry after his exertion, the native plucked a hollow reed at random from the rushes on his raft. Slowly, lazily, he stretched himself at full length in his accustomed place at the stern. He thrust the reed down deep into one of the bladders underneath the raft and slowly drank his fill of sweet water. He had a dozen such storage bladders remaining, built into the floats at intervals above the waterline. Quite enough to last him safely home again.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson. The 4th man by John Russell was adapted for radio by Irving Ravitch, with Paul Frees as Dr. DuBose, Joe Kearns as Fenaru, and Nestor Paiva as Parrot. Bill Johnstone narrated. The special musical score was conceived and conducted by Cy Feuer. Escape has been presented by the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations. Be sure to be with us next Monday night when the Radio Theater returns to the air with Betty Davis and Glenn Ford starring in A Stolen Life. Remember, next Monday evening from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the Lux Radio Theater starts its 14th year over CBS. The play, A Stolen Life. The stars, Betty Davis and Glenn Ford. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Fourth Man on Escape from 1947. Well, now we're going to have the Mole Mystery Theater. And this is from 1946. It's called The Creeper.
Mole Mystery Theater. Brought to you by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skin.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes, welcoming you to the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight's play is a modern melodrama with the emphasis upon terror and suspense. It's entitled The Creeper, and is the story of a mysterious killer of that name, an unknown madman who terrifies an entire city by a series of murders. And just who is the Creeper? Well, answering that question is the challenge of tonight's play. And Joseph Ruskoll, the author, has cleverly fashioned a story deliberately designed to fool you. So be on your guard. You've had fair warning.
Oh, gee, Mr. Barnes, I'm scared before we even get started. Oh, and say, that reminds me. Men, if just the thought of shaving gives you the willies because you have wiry, hard-to-cut whiskers or tender skin, try this. Shave with Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream. Yes, sir, with Mole, it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. That's right. Mole is the shaving cream that's heavier. The cream that's especially good for a wiry, hard-to-cut beard or a tender skin. Because Mole is heavier, it not only softens your whiskers, it stands them up straighter and your razor clips them off clean as a whistle. So you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly with Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. Mole. And now for tonight's Mole mystery, The Creeper.
In the kitchenette of a New York apartment, a man and his wife listened to a morning news broadcast.
New York. The unknown killer called the Creeper has struck again, adding a third female corpse to his toll. Virginia Peters, a comely waitress, was found strangled to death in her third-floor apartment early this morning while her radio blared. As in the previous murders, a note was found scrawled on the wall with the victim's lipstick and the plea, "For heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more. I cannot control myself." Police insist...
Oh.
Why'd you turn it off?
How awful. How awful. And in this very neighborhood.
Let's hear the rest. It intrigues me.
Oh, you. Don't go turning that radio on against Steve Grant. I've heard enough. Go out of my mind, for heaven's sake.
That's it. That's a good, solid clue.
What is?
For heaven's sake. How many men ever use that expression?
Oh, shut up.
Okay, Mrs. Grant. Pass the biscuits, my little pigeon.
Pass the biscuits. Eat, eat, eat. Three women in 3 days murdered in cold blood by a mad fiend right here in the Heights. I'm too sick to go out, too scared to stay in, the locks broke. And he sits there, eating, eating, pass the biscuits.
There's nothing wrong with my appetite, my love.
Well, of course. That's what cost you a job on the police force. Huh. Why, when I even think of it.
Some men drink to escape. I eat.
Escape what? What?
An ugly tongue, a beautiful face, and a roving eye. In short, a wife.
You're starting that again. You and your crazy jealousy.
Maybe that's the Creeper's way of escaping, too, Georgia. No.
Oh, shut up. Go ahead and get a divorce. Go ahead. Can I help it if men look at me? I don't know why you come home at all. Where do you go? What do you do with yourself? Where were you this morning, and why'd you come back anyway?
To eat. Someday I'll lose my appetite for that, too. When I do, my dear... There'll be no escape. Well, I'm off again. Kiss? Still using stage lipstick. I'll wipe it off. How many times must I tell you? You're married now, remember?
Steve, wait.
Yeah?
At least go buy me my medicine.
Sorry, no time.
Oh, don't leave me here alone. Stay home this afternoon. Please. I'm afraid.
Ah, don't be silly, pet. Nothing will happen to you.
You've a doorman here, an elevator boy, Mrs. Stone across the hall, a phone. You're safe enough.
Oh, but the night lock, it doesn't work.
Well, now you can't lock me out anymore.
Something's happened to it since last night. It doesn't catch.
Oh, get a new one.
Well, I can't get a locksmith. I tried all morning. Oh, all right. If I want to phone you, where will you be?
Out. Goodbye, my dear. Take care of your cold. Well, 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 Steve Grant, huh?
Well, if it isn't old Pearly Chase.
Here you got thrown off the force, Steve.
Here you got thrown off the news, Pearly.
You heard wrong. I wasn't fired. I was just warned.
Well, I wasn't fired either. Just suspended for 3 days. I eat too much. That's my trouble.
I drink too much. Here you're living up at the Heights, Steve.
Yeah.
That's funny. Me too. Here you're married now to a beautiful and lovely young... with admiration.
I can say that again. Used to be on the stage, you know.
Yeah, I think I knew her. Wasn't her stage name Georgia Dixon?
No, that's her. I love that wench, but... ah, women. How does a guy handle them? Maybe the creeper has the right method.
Thank you for taking the words right out of my mouth. Who is the creeper, Steve? Any angles?
You tell me, and I'll split the reward with you.
Now, there's one thing, though, and I don't think even the police have put it together yet.
Yeah?
In all three cases, just before the creeper struck, the door locks had already been tampered with.
I don't see.
Yeah. You got a theory?
Well, sure. I mean, take that note on the wall. For heaven's sake. In every case, for heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more.
I cannot control myself.
Right. Now, what man uses an expression like that? The long and short of it is this. The creeper is a woman.
A ruse. Just like the height of the message from the floor's a ruse. 6 feet. And yet I'll lay you odds. The creeper's no more than a guy your height, say, or mine. 5'9", just like us, you and me. Only, crazy.
How do you figure that?
How do I figure lots of things? How do I know where the creeper's gonna strike next?
You do?
Certainly. The creeper's not so smart. He's just crazy. You play along crazy, see, and you're one jump ahead of him. That's the trouble with the police, why they're up a tree. You expect logical clues from a madman? No, you play along crazy, make out you're the creeper. What's your compulsion?
Go ahead, let's see.
All right. The victims are all redheads, every one. You've noticed that, of course. 3 in 3 days.
Now that you...
they all lived in the Heights, right? Agnes Martin, Jane Krutsky, Selma Davis.
Right.
What was the number of the apartment in each case? Agnes lived in 1A, Jane 2B, Selma 3C. Don't ask me the why or the wherefore. Don't ask me the logic. Just play along crazy. You see what I mean? See where he's going to strike next?
I'll get what
the
you...
the next victim of the creeper lives in the Heights. She's a redhead. Her night lock's been tampered with. She's going to get hers today. And her apartment number is 4D. Well, why are you staring at me? You don't like my arithmetic? Why are you staring?
My wife's a redhead, Pearly. We live in the Heights. Our apartment number is... ah, you're just a boozy reporter.
Your apartment number?
4D, I told you.
4D. Of course. I'll have it delivered. I was busy admiring your lipstick, Mrs. Grant. I've nothing like it in stock. 4D. I should have guessed it anyway.
Why?
Well, a face is a number, believe me. Since you've moved into the neighborhood, Mrs. Grant, for me, it has a special number, like Double Dandy Delicious Dream. 4Ds. You see?
I'll bet you tell that to every customer, female.
I'm a ladies' man. Like the creeper?
Huh?
What did I say? What's going on in this block? Raw nerves. You can't joke. The creeper. That's all I hear all day. It's mass hysteria. Oh, there ain't such an animal.
You don't think so?
I assure you, Mrs. Grant, it is a fairy tale. For circulation of the tabloids. I'll send your prescription up for the boy.
Oh, no. I'll just wait here for it.
Well, it'll take some time. You should go right home and stay there if you're getting over the flu. Believe me, I'll deliver it myself. It'll be a pleasure.
No, I'll wait. I may not go right back. I don't want to be there all alone. I'm afraid.
Oh, very well. Suit yourself. Have a seat. For heaven's sake, stop me before I kill more.
What?
I cannot control myself. Wait! That Reaper's note I had reference to. How such a very... Wait, Mrs. Grant, your prescription!
Grant!
Mrs. Grant! Oh, Mrs. Stone.
What's your hurry, dear?
Oh, I just got such a scare. Since all these awful murders in this neighborhood.
Yes, isn't it terrible? You're walking home?
Huh? I guess so.
I'll go with you. It's good we live in the same house.
At least if I had a double lock. But the night one doesn't work. Can't get a locksmith. They're all so busy.
But don't you worry. We'll stay together this afternoon till our husbands come home. Think of it. We've never visited, though we live right across the hall from each other. Isn't that like a big city, for heaven's sake? Or would you rather I dropped in on you?
Well, I...
And make it yours, then. Isn't it terrible? The ghastly things they're saying, the theories. One doesn't know what to expect next. You believe the latest?
The latest?
That maybe it's the woman, the creeper.
A woman?
Can you beat it? I can't imagine how in the world the police figured that, for heaven's sake, can you?
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking of something my husband said.
Though I can see where a married woman now, if her husband was faithless, say, or perhaps only weak, no will of his own against a vile, cheap thing in skirts. And if the wife, say, was merely getting at those female homebreakers. Well, I can understand such a theory. Because you take my husband now. You've met Mr. Stone, haven't you?
Oh.
Why, Mrs. Grant, why on earth are you staring at me like that, for heaven's sake?
I don't feel well. I must get home at once. I feel faint.
But Mrs. Grant, for heaven's sake...
As the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Mole Mystery, the big question is the creeper a man or a woman? Come to think of it, a man wouldn't use the expression, for heaven's sake, would he, Dan?
Well, no, Mr. Barnes, but there are times when he might say a lot worse. For instance, sometimes he's apt to say something like, gee...
Watch your language.
Well, I was only going to say, jeepers, I'd rather face a firing squad than shave. And say, man, if that's the way you feel about your morning shave, chances are you've got wiry whiskers or a tender skin. So try Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins, and get a shave that's smooth as a waltz. Yes, Mole is a heavier cream, the cream that not only softens your whiskers, but holds them up like a blade of grass and lets your razor mow them down easily. With Mole, you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly. Try it and see if you don't say, it's smooth, so smooth, it's slick, so slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. Mole. And now back to Jeffrey Barnes and Act Two of The Creeper.
Georgia Grant is in terror that she is to be the next victim of a mad killer known as the Creeper. She suspects everyone she meets, both men and women. Now, in panic, she dashes through the streets, unnerved after an encounter with a neighbor, Mrs. Stone.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Oh.
Out shopping?
Oh, You're the new doorman, huh?
Yeah, just relieving Charlie. Nice weather out. Help you with your packages?
No, thank you.
Let me ring the elevator for you.
No, you don't have to trouble.
Oh, no trouble, ma'am. There. Apartment 4D, huh?
Yes. How'd you know?
Doesn't take long.
Going now?
Yes.
Up and down. The ups and downs of life, that's me. I'm a living milkshake, Mrs. Grant.
What's wrong, Jimmy?
Stuck. Imagine getting stuck between the second and third with a production like you.
Get going, Sonny. Do you want me to report you?
Okay. Can't you take a joke? Maybe I misconstrued that smile you always give me. Maybe you shouldn't ought to smile that way. Fourth floor.
Let me out.
If I drop in later, would you be more receptive?
Oh, thank goodness it left. Must have gone out of my mind. Key. Where's my key? This darn lock. Hello? Is the locksmith in yet? Well, I want to know how soon I can get my lock changed. Yes, of course I left my order.
Hello, Georgia. Don't you,
why, you
little foolish me. You want the whole house to hear? Yeah, that's better.
What are you doing here?
I'm playing along crazy.
What are you talking about? How'd you get in here?
Alias Pearly Valentine. Take it easy. You haven't a thing to worry about. I've come to protect you. Give me the phone. Hello? Never mind about the lock, thank you. Yeah, a long time no see, Georgia.
What do you want, Pearly?
Me? A headline. Your husband wants, too. He wants I should keep an eye on you.
What's that?
Sure. You didn't think Steve and I were acquainted, did you? Yeah, from way back. Just met him at a bar.
I don't believe you. What do you mean, keep an eye on me?
Oh, just in case the creeper... You've heard of the character?
You're mad. You've always been mad, Pearly Chase. Where is he? Why should he send you? Why should he think the creeper will come here? What are you doing here?
I told you, playing along crazy. Got a drink?
You're drunk now and you're getting right out of here. You're nothing but a no-good rummy.
You're nothing but a no-good... Die, you finish it. When I took the drink, it was to drown you out, and you know it. I'm still a rum pot, Angel, which means I haven't got rid of you yet.
Get out.
You little two-timing redhead. You're all the same, you redhead.
Why, you...
You haven't changed, have you? Even a wedding ring can't do that to you. Oh, come on. Don't play the innocent. My business is snooping. I make a living at it. Between drinks. So your new motto's love thy neighbor, huh? Mr. Stone across the hall? Poor dumb Steve.
Why, you dirty...
Sit down, Charlie. Just play along with me while I play along crazy. Sit down. That's it. Just like we're expecting company. Oh, I must be crazy doing this. Why wait here for the creeper? Why not 100 other streets, 1,000 other apartments, 1,000,000 other dames? Because I'm riding my hunch, that's why. Let's have some music. Don't just sit. Let's have some music. Turn on the radio. Let's dance. That's it. Now let's dance. Give me your arm. Let's dance. Yes, sir. Just like old times, huh? Around and around. Just like my brain. Why are you trembling? I still love you, you little fool. Come on, ask me why. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, you lovely redhead. I could kill you and you deserve it. With the radio on, you could scream and nobody would hear. I could put my hand on your throat like this, see? And I could strangle you.
Pearly, don't!
Why are you crying? Stop it! I'm here to protect you. Stop crying. Cut it. I can't stand it. I never could. Okay. You want me to leave? All right, I will. It's your funeral. What am I saving you for anyway? Where's my hat? In a few minutes, there'll be a knock or a ring or the door will just open, see? And you'll be lying in a pool of blood just like the other three. Goodbye, my worthless. Give my regards to the creeper.
That That look in his eyes. Like a madman's. What if he comes back? He wants to kill me. He wants to kill me. Someone wants to kill me. Like the other three. A pool of blood. Like the other three. Like the other three. Any minute now. There'll be a knock. Or a ring.
This is Jeffrey Barnes again. In just a moment, we'll bring you Act Three of The Creeper.
Thousands of people who suffer the social and business handicap of dandruff are discovering that the way to combat it effectively is with Double Dandrine. You see, Double Dandrine is unlike many hair preparations available today, for such products really do no more to fight a common type of dandruff than plain water does. That is, they simply wash loose dandruff away. But Double Dandrine actually combats this dandruff by killing the germs that many outstanding authorities contend are its cause. And Double Dandrine kills these germs on contact. Now, a special ingredient named Alzan is the reason for Double Dandrine's amazing effectiveness. Alzan is an active antiseptic so remarkably efficient, many hospitals use it. And of all hair preparations, only Double Dandrine has it. So try Double Dandrine and see if you don't agree that most ordinary hair preparations can't compare with its dandruff combating effectiveness. If you're not satisfied, return the empty bottle and get your money back. Buy Double Dandrine at your druggist's.
Yes?
This is the doorman, Mrs. Grant.
Yes?
The druggist is here with the medicine. Shall I let him come up?
My medicine? Why, sure, let him... No. Now, don't let that man up.
Want me to bring it up?
No, no. No, I'm perfectly all right. I don't need it. You hear? Don't you dare come up. Don't anyone. Locksmith? Oh, please. Please, I must have a change right away. My lock. My door lock. Yes, this is Mrs. Grant. Yes, I do want it, of course. Anyone can get in here, anyone. They want to murder me, but I don't know who. It's the creeper. You'll come? Right away? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but hurry, please. Hurry, or I'll go out of my mind. Oh, thank the Lord. If he doesn't come in time, like the other three, a pool of blood. Any minute now. Be a knock or a ring. Who's there?
It's me, dear, Mrs. Stone.
Oh. What do you want?
Why, I've been worried about you. Are you ill?
No. No, I'm all right, Mrs. Stone. I'm feeling fine.
Open up, dear. Don't you want me to keep you company?
No. No, thank you. I was just... Stop it!
Oh, let me in, silly.
No. Go away. I'm going to sleep. Go away. You hear me? Go away. Hello.
Oh, Georgia. You all right?
Oh, Steve. I've been so frantic. It's so good to hear your voice. Where are you?
At headquarters. Coming right home. Sweetheart, is anything wrong? You sound...
Oh, not now. Not when I hear you, Steve. I don't know what came over me all day. I've been imagining things. So silly, my nerves.
Forgive me for this morning, darling. I wasn't myself. My job had me down, but now everything's...
Oh, of course. Forgive me, Steve. I've been bad, wicked. Oh, if you knew what I've gone through today. The most dreadful state. And then that... Steve, did you send someone here today?
Early Chase.
Then you did.
To keep you company. Isn't he still with you?
I know. I just got rid of him.
I wish you hadn't. He's an all right guy. Smart reporter. Lives in the neighborhood, too. Honey, I know it sounds cockeyed. I mean, Early's theory, but I was a bit worried when I got to thinking, so... Listen, Georgia. Don't let anyone in the house till I get home.
Oh, I won't, Steve.
Not anyone, you hear? Not anyone.
What?
Wait, Steve.
Locksmith.
Hello.
Oh, wait, Steve. It's... Oh, thank goodness at last. Now I can breathe easy. Just a minute, dear.
Hello, Georgia. Georgia, hello. Hello. Georgia.
Oh, thank thank goodness
George,
it's come. Please step in. It's the lock on this door I want. Oh, please, just a moment. My husband's on the phone. Steve?
What happened? Something else I wanted to know.
Oh, it's all right. Everything's all right now, Steve. You needn't worry.
Didn't I just hear you talking to someone? Was that someone at the door?
It was no one, Steve. Just Mr. Frank, the locksmith. Oh, what a load of...
The locksmith? Georgia, listen. Listen, Georgia, that's what I was going to tell you.
What is it?
The police are on a new trail. They think maybe a locksmith. Georgia, you listening? It may be that the creep was a locksmith. Get him out, quick.
What nice lipstick you use, Mrs. Grant. Catch me before I kill more. For heaven's sake.
Hello, City Desk. Pearly Chase. Now shut up and listen. On that creeper story I just gave you, I had this dope. The reward for his capture goes to the elevator boy. He heard Georgia Grant scream and called a cop. The creeper was shot running from the building. Yeah. It's ironical, isn't it? Imagine the locksmith was the killer. The one man Georgia thought would protect her. What an ending to a lovely, lovely redhead.
Now, this is Jeffrey Barnes bringing down the final curtain on tonight's presentation of The Creeper. Join us again next week when we present a hard-boiled crime story entitled Spanish Blood and written by one of the greatest names in detective fiction, Raymond Chandler. Mr. Chandler is known to all of you as the writer of the recent hit movie, Murder, My Sweet. So don't miss a real hard-hitting, hard-boiled melodrama next week when we present Raymond Chandler's Spanish Blood.
The original music for the Mole Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Sandler. The Creeper was written by Joseph Ruskoll, and Charlotte Manson was featured in tonight's program. This is Dan Seymour saying good night until next Friday at this same time when the Mystery Theater presents Spanish Blood.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.